Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Cyclone Fanatic Radio is on the air.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this. And totally redeem yourself!
Central Iowa sports fans, it's time to dig deep into the world of Iowa State athletics. You're tuned to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, presented by Wilson Toyota of Ames, live from Benchwarmer Sports Bar in Ankeny.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
And now, here are your hosts, Chris Williams, Brent Bloom, and Tron Smith from Wilson Toyota of Ames on the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show on 1460 KXNO.
Thanks, Andrew Downs, and welcome back to another Thirsty Thursday Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show, presented as always by Wilson Toyota of Ames. There's a few things on the radar to talk about tonight here at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Here on Ankeny Boulevard, come on in and take on the Hoiberger. That will knock your socks off, Tron Smith, Wilson Toyota of Ames. What did you drive in today? Did you bring a Tundra down? Are you a man tonight, or did you bring one of those?
Well, here's the thing, man. When you have so many great all-wheel drive vehicles, you know, as great as a Tundra is, I mean, unless we get, like, tons of snow, like that East Coast snow, you can pretty much drive any Toyota that's all-wheel drive, man. It's open, man. We don't need a Tundra. But you know what, Chris? Just for you, next week, we'll definitely bring a Tundra in. I'll let you shovel snow or whatever you want to do with it. It's just one of those vehicles. Something you can do with.
Well, It's good to see you here, Tron Smith, Wilson Toyota of Ames, as always. Brent Bloom, columnist, how are you today?
Just pretty calm day in Cyclone Nation.
I heard a rumor that Paul Rhodes was going to keep you from speaking to the media. That would be a shame.
I know. People need to hear me.
Our numbers would drop dramatically.
But, hey, if that means that I didn't go to Notre Dame or Iowa.
We're going to talk about that in just a little bit, but before we do, I want to welcome our first guest of the program onto the Hy-Vee Hotline, one of my favorite follows on Twitter. He's got a great website, pistolsfiringblog.com. He also writes about a little golf as well during the spring and the summer for CBS. Kyle Porter, pistolsfiringblog.com, or he's like what the Cyclone Fanatic world would be at Oklahoma State, and I thought it'd be great to rehash what happened on Monday night and also talk some Big 12 basketball. Kyle, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you guys having me tonight.
Hey, it's good to have you, man. We win or lose, I sent you an email. I believe it was going into overtime on Monday night. And I said, win or lose, doesn't matter. I want to have you on the program because it's just a great basketball game, and I wanted to, you know, get the Oklahoma State fan perspective from it and look ahead to the Big 12. That was for Iowa State. I don't know exactly if it was like a season-changing type win or whatnot, but I can certainly tell you that that crowd, although it wasn't huge, it was fairly nasty crowd from what I understand from the people who were down there. With George Niang fouled out going into overtime, just the fact that Iowa State could somehow hang on and win that thing in three overtimes, Iowa State people are excited. What kind of a taste does that game leave in your mouth after Monday night?
Well, it's frustrating because I think that OSU is a team coming into the season. You don't feel like you should lose at home, maybe in conference play, maybe one game, and now they've lost two in a row at home. That's not to take away. I would say it's a good team. That's not taken away from them, but you've lost two, and you still have OU and Kansas coming up at home as well. And they're just, Oklahoma State's just not defending Gallagher either the way that they should if they want to be a good team. But I was blown away. I went back and watched the end of all three overtimes, and I was blown away by how in control it seemed like OSU was at the end of the second and the third overtime. At the end of the second overtime, Oklahoma State has the ball with 18 seconds left and a three-point lead, and they lose. I mean, it was amazing to look back on that.
Kyle, a lot happened in that game. Let me ask you, where was everybody? Because, I mean,
he's our guest.
No, I know, but I want to know, is it the things I've heard is it's the Oklahoma City Thunder are taking some fans away from the college teams, and I've also heard that a lot of the folks down there just do not like Travis Ford and do not want to support him.
Yeah, you know, I think those are the two main things. I think also it kind of comes down to, you know, people, I think, have to choose sometimes between supporting Oklahoma State football and supporting Oklahoma State basketball. And
right.
If you go back and look at, like, 2000, 2001, back when Oklahoma State just was really bad at football,
sure.
that's when you saw Gal Gribas filled up. Now that they're good at football, if you have to choose between the two, and I'm not saying everybody does that, but if you do, you're going to choose football because that's the success, the team that's had success recently. But it's also, like you said, it's the KD effect, it's the Kevin Durant effect in Oklahoma City. And then also people are just not, you know, I don't think people have, there's a strong contingent of OSU fans that have never truly been on board with Travis Ford. And that's unfortunate because this is one of the better teams that OSU's ever had. They have the best dunker in school history, probably the best player in school history in Marcus Smart. And people are missing out.
Well, you know, I'm not – my first question would be, which overtime was Chris talking about when he started sending you these emails?
No, it's right going into
– okay. It was like eight of them. I mean, I had to send my kid to bed twice. It's like watching the Titanic sink. But it's great. It's good to have you on, Kyle, man. I will tell you, I think this your fans down there, they're really missing it with Travis Ford. I mean, I think he's a great coach. I think what he's really done is he's getting these players ready for the NBA, and that's obvious with the way that Marcus Smart flops. I mean, it's apparent that you have to be really seasoned in that to make it to the NBA, and they have it down. So what really is the problem with Travis Ford and the way he's coaching these guys? I mean, he's getting them ready for the league.
that was good. That was a good shot. I'm with you on the flopping. It's not, you know, I think coming into this year, Smart was one of my favorite all-time guys to watch, and he's not anymore. He's just not enjoyable to watch play basketball. I mean, that's just kind of the way it is right now. I told somebody the other day, it seems like Ford has all 12 or 14, however many guys, practicing in 14 different gyms. Like they're getting better, but they're not getting better as a team. And it's this weird thing where, you know, you see a guy like Marcel Brown who's improved to become this kind of all-conference guy, but I don't know if he really fits in with what OSU's doing. I think that's where people blame Travis Ford is this team hasn't gelled as a team, and individuals are getting better, which is fine, but they haven't come together as a team.
Kyle Porter, PistolsFiringBlog.com, joining us right now on the Hy-Vee Hotline. It's the Cyclone Fanatic Wilson Toyota radio show. We are live at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Kyle, I wanted to get your impression on Iowa State. You're like us. You watch a lot of Big 12 basketball. But now that you really watched the game closely with Iowa State, what did you see from an outsider's perspective? And, you know, what do you see going forward for the Cyclones?
Well, I thought Kane was awesome. I mean, watching him and Smart go at it was just so fun, and it was, you know, he got the better of it, and I think anybody that was there would tell you that. I think when you have a guy like that in March, you know, no matter what seed you are, you're dangerous. You know, we've seen it over and over again in March. These teams with these great guards, you know, can get deep in the tournament. That's kind of why I haven't given up on OSU is they still got Smart and Marcel Brown, and you can kind of you can do something that with that in March. But and I mean on the interior, Iowa State has so many guys that they can go through between Edgem. You know, Niang was great. There's just I feel like a deeper team than Oklahoma State is right now, and I think, you know, you saw that in the end.
Kyle, who do you think is the second best team in the Big 12 right now? Obviously, Kansas is kind of going to run away with it again. It looks like, but who's the second-best team in the Big 12?
I'm not sold on Texas.
I'm not either.
They've won seven in a row. They're 18-4, you know, so on and so forth. I honestly think it's kind of between West Virginia and Iowa State right now.
Wow. Who would have thought West Virginia in October, Kyle? That's unbelievable. I'm not questioning you. I'm just saying it's crazy where they've come from.
But you look at, I mean, who knew who Juwan Staten was in October? I mean, that guy's awesome. I mean, I think outside of Indy, he's been the best player in the Big 12 all year.
Okay, so I want to follow up on you with some Oklahoma State thoughts based off of what you just said. And I completely agree with you, by the way. Keep in mind, I'm one of the few, I was with you, I believe, who picked Oklahoma State to win the league earlier in the year. You still, despite a couple of losses, you can't deny who Marcus Smart is, who Mark L. Brown is, and LeBrian Nash, who just is, he's kryptonite for Iowa State. The guy always plays well against the Cyclones. I think Oklahoma State finds a way to turn this thing around. I still think they're probably a top five seed come the NCAA tournament, potentially. Where are you at on where your team is going to end up? And, yeah, give us a little bit of a preview for the second half of the Big 12 season for Oklahoma State.
You know, I don't think they're going to be a top five seed anymore. I think they can still get in that 6-7 range. You know, I think they can get to 10 Big 12 wins, maybe 11. I was telling one of my buddies the other day, it's hard right now in the middle of a, you know, you've lost 4 out of 5. It's hard to see the other side of that right now. It's kind of like, I compared it to OU's football season last year. They go get smoked by Baylor. You know, the sky's falling. They're going to go 8-5, 7-6, whatever. Well, okay, they turn around, beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. I think it's difficult to see the end when you're in the middle of a losing stretch like this. But, yeah, I mean, it comes down to how Smart plays the rest of the year. Is he going to continue to be the player who's taking 7 threes a game while he's shooting 28%? I mean, that's ridiculous. And that's a Travis Ford problem, because if you can't, you know, just go tell him, hey, stop shooting threes, it's killing us, they're basically turnovers, then you don't deserve to win 10 or 11 games in 6-12. But if he can do that, get him to the rim more, keep running the offense through LeBrian Nash, who's been fantastic all year, I think they can win 10 or 11 Big 12 games.
Kyle Porter, PistolsFiringBlog.com, also a blogger for CBS, a golf blogger. I love golf. So, Kyle,
yes.
Better chance of this happening. Oklahoma State makes a Sweet 16, or Tiger Woods wins a major this year.
That's great.
Oh, Tiger wins a major, no doubt. There's no question. I can see the second round tournament upset coming from like eight miles away for Oklahoma State. You know, they're gonna go up against a team that has a couple of good big guys and just get beat by like 25 in the second round. It's gonna be horrendous.
Outstanding. Kyle, we appreciate your time, man. We really do. And if you don't mind, we'll probably call you up again later on in the Big 12 season, maybe do a little Big 12 tournament preview or something like that. Is that cool?
Yeah, let's do it. We got OSU Iowa State last game of the year, so we should do it around that time.
How awesome. Okay, so you're in Dallas, right?
That's right.
So if that's the case in Kansas City, you're getting a direct flight from Dallas to Kansas City, and we'll sit by each other at the championship of the Big 12 tournament. How about that?
Yeah, you can put me down for that, because I don't think that's going to happen from Oklahoma State.
At Pistols Guy on Twitter, he's Kyle Porter, PistolsFiringBlog.com. Thanks, pal. Take care.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right. Love talking to Kyle. It's good to get other perspective.
It is. I tell you. I don't think they understood what type of hole that Cobbins deal was going to put in that in that deal. I mean, it seems like, you know, Cal hit it right on the head. It seemed like they're five different guys playing on five different courts with all that talent. I mean, LeBrian Nash, which, you know, probably the last guy we even brought up, talented guy. They just a lot of talent and nothing done. So how hot is the seat that Travis Ford is sitting on?
This is the problem, and this was why I picked Iowa State to win that game on Monday after they had lost to Baylor. They, you know, there's the common knowledge out there, and I was explaining you to this, Bloom, when we were watching the Super Bowl, where it goes, well, the chances of that team winning two in a row at home or losing two in a row at home are pretty slim. That's what we all thought would be an elite basketball team in the Big 12 this year. Yeah, well, that's the case when you got Big 12 or Bill Self coaching your team or Fred Hoiberg coaching your team. This Travis Ford thing, I mean, he has entered Scott Drew territory when it comes to exit. And I didn't believe that he could pick up the pieces fast enough. And sure enough, Bloom, I don't think it was that bad. Iowa State's a good team. They fought hard. It's not like Oklahoma State had given up. They were playing with a lot of emotion, but they do face the obstacle of their head coach.
Well, I thought their strategy was fine. It would help if their future top five pick, top 10 pick, could make a shot. I mean, Marcus Smart is great when he's driving to the basket and getting fouled. Mm-hmm. But right now, he can't shoot. It started off well. I mean, he hit like 8 threes in a game against Memphis earlier this year at home. He's like 2 of his last 30 from downtown. Travis Ford can only do so much. I mean, it's the same thing. I know I kill Scott Drew, and Travis Ford is Scott Drew light. But I actually think
we do it in jest a lot.
Yeah,
though.
It is in jest.
Those guys are not as bad as people make them out to be.
Well, Drew is.
you're right.
But you know, Travis. No, I got gotcha.
You. Know.
Travis Ford. He's got some pieces there. I like the point where they're all going the wrong direction. There's something up with that team, and ultimately lies with Travis Ford. But I think that team, like Kyle said, still wins 10, 11 games in the Big 12, and they make the NCAA tournament. But it would really help the cause if they're All-American, played like one, and not just drive recklessly to the basket and get fouled and fall down.
Sean,
I think a lot of that, though. No, I'll tell you this: if I'm going to throw an elbow, you're going to know it's coming. If I hit you in the chin, you're definitely not going to grab your nose, or maybe you will. That was kind of weird, but you know, you think about this. At some point, you have to give credit to DeAndre Kane. I mean, he comes in this game, which we've all been waiting on this matchup. It was like watching a gang fight out there. I mean, it was great. Two great guys. They're husky guys. But I think DeAndre Kane, he really went in, and you can tell that he was a veteran guy. He went in, he had an idea. He kind of imposed his will, did what he wanted to do, and made a game of it. Also, he kind of brought Marcus Smart out, the best of him out in the second half as he started to push him around. It got pretty testy out there. The more physical it got, the better that matchup became.
That was an epic confrontation between a couple of guys, though, because you could tell, you could just see it developing. First of all, it started developing when this DeAndre Kane guy came onto the scene, and some comparisons to Marcus Smart were surfacing earlier into the season. But throughout that game, and then the tweets started coming out. I think Seth Davis put out one about DeAndre Kane and hero ball and whatnot. And then Kane, for some reason, took that shot at the end of regulation, which, I mean, just I was infuriated when he let that three go. I couldn't imagine what was going on through his mind. But that's the thing you also have to love about DeAndre Kane is he wanted that moment, man. And him and Smart were dueling it out. I thought at one point they just needed to kick everybody else off the court, let them go one-on-one.
But the great thing about Kane is when push came to shove and flop, the last play of the second overtime, Kane has an open three. Naslong has a better open three. He made the pass.
Yeah.
And Naslong hits
the
biggest shot of the year, really. And as the quote, I think the legend is, Naz said to Kane, "One more, bro," as saying he was open, and Naz made it. So,
you know what?
You know, as hero ball as DeAndre played at times in that second half, when he needed to, he was making the pass.
Difference in the game too, between the two.
And think about the big shots that were there are a lot of them but that were hit in that game. The Naslong Bloom already referenced Matt Thomas's
monster
at the end of regulation with a hand in his face.
Yep.
I might add. And then Monte Morris. I mean, these are – we talk about DeAndre Kane and hero ball. These are three unlikely heroes at the end of that game for Iowa State when you would have looked at it, let's say, 2 months ago, right? Quick take before we get to a break. I want to get your thoughts on Monte Morris, gentlemen. 53 minutes, zero turnovers. This guy, it's still very early in his career, and things change because right now he's one of the guys. He's not being asked to be the man. But the statistics that he is producing – or lack thereof from the turnover standpoint, with as much as the ball is in his hands. Gentlemen, Iowa State has struck gold with this young man. They have struck gold. This kid could be all Big 12-type performer for 3 years if he keeps this up. What do you think about that?
Here's the deal. I put it out on Twitter right after the game, and I kind of waited. I didn't want to ruin it. Every time you say something before it's over, it kind of ruins it. He was my MVP of the game. I mean, he did nothing but shut his mouth,
fair.
Play a great game.
Yeah.
We didn't even know. What did Forte have, three? From the, what did he have, one?
That's
from,
the thing.
From
nobody talks about
line?
His defense. He's the best defender on the team.
He played a great game. He doesn't turn the ball over. The only thing he does is exactly what he needs to do, and he does it all right. The kid's unbelievable, and I agree with you, Williams. Striking gold is an understatement, but here's the thing, the difference that we forget about Monte Morris. We sit down, and we kind of explain him like he's this guy that comes in, and we hope he's good. We hope he thinks he's good. there was no doubt in this kid's mind when he hit campus that he was good.
Oh.
He knew that he was coming and he would have the opportunity to play. And every time he gets that opportunity, he doesn't let any of us down. He just does his job.
Bloom, you're a bit of a national basketball savant. We're trying to focus more of our attentions on the Big 12 Conference. Where is he going to stack his point guards coming back next year? That's a loaded question,
yeah,
because you know they're going to be diaper dandies, those type guys. But as far as returning guys next year, I mean, he's got to be in the conversation for all Big 12 preseason.
I don't think he won't be,
but he should.
I think we're going a little far. Here.
How? Explain to me how he wouldn't be, though.
Well, Monte.
He's better than Nadir Tharp as far as that, looking ahead to next year. I would take him on my team over Nadir Tharp.
Monte's never going to be, and this is just me thinking here, I don't think he's ever going to be a 15 to 20 point per game guy.
Heck no, but that's what makes him. I mean, the distribution, the taking care of the bat, that's not his game.
But his, I mean, he's, I called him like the professor, not the and one professor, but he's professorial out there. Everything's calm. He plays at a pace that calms everybody else down. For him to play that many minutes on the road and not have a turnover, I mean, he reminds me a little bit, this is, about 20 years ago, Jock Vaughn for Kansas.
Yeah, yeah. Jock Vaughn.
A guy who just ran the show. Never turned it over, didn't look for his offense, but could hit a shot if you leave him open. I mean, he hit that monster three. So it was end up being the game winner.
In the corner.
Yeah. In the corner. I mean, he.
Naslaw got the assist on that, by the way.
I think Monte, Juwan Staten's probably the best returning point guard next year, but he's up there.
That's fair.
He's never going to be the guy that's going to get those All-American honors, though, because he's not going to be a guy who's going to score 15, 18 points, but I don't know if there's another guy with his leadership qualities, and he's not the level where he's going to leave early for the pros either.
You'll get him, Tross.
You say that. No, you say that, and I understand what you're saying as far as the scoring thing, but, you know, look at the kid from Syracuse, the freshman they have out there. Same way. Quiet kid, doesn't score much. Only thing he does is distribute the ball, doesn't turn it over. He's probably the best point guard in the nation right now. You know, and he's doing exactly what you said. If Monte continues to do, he won't be.
And it's unfair, but Tyler Ennis, you're talking about Syracuse, is 4 inches taller.
Here's the deal. Forget about how tall he is, Blue.
I know.
It doesn't matter. If the kid plays the same, what I'm saying, he doesn't have to score 15 to, 18 points. The only thing the kid has to do is protect the ball. Man, there was a pass in the second half of that game that I rewound and watched it six times. I don't even know how the kid saw DeAndre Kane and couldn't figure out how he got him the ball. But it's things like that these kids see on the court that, well,
yeah.
You're short, so you wouldn't even have that opportunity. But I'm saying, when you think about points, it's more than scoring points when it comes to your point guard.
I'll say this. 3 weeks ago, I thought Iowa State, their ceiling was like a Sweet 16. But since he's come on and been not only a starter now, but a guy who can play that second guard spot and move Kane off the ball, I mean, I wrote it this week on your website.
Boom, can I do it? You referenced Iowa State in the national championship.
I'm not.
So you know,
I'm not picking them to win the national championship, but I think
what it seemed like.
his improvement takes them a step further, because now you can put two guards on the floor in the NCAA tournament. Gentlemen, Iowa State's turnover rate is second best among all BCS schools behind Wisconsin, who just kind of passes it back and forth. They don't even try to go to the basket. That is so good for a team that plays at the pace they do. And I think, between guard play and versatility of scoring, yes, they don't have a rim protector, but he puts them at another level, and you get him for 3.5 more years.
Can you give Matt Thomas a tip of your cap?
He's got 4 turnovers since Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and the dimension that he brings now, because now you have, as Brett Musburger would call it, your marksman. You know what I mean? You've got that marksman on the floor, but that was really what Iowa State was lacking earlier in the season.
Since I have Bloom here, the stat genius, I would be curious.
Don't make his ego.
I'm just saying, would he would have to be close to leading the team in blocks, too, which a lot of us
Matty
forget.
Thomas?
I'm serious, man.
Well,
I think the kid has 2
I asked
blocks
him about that after it was last Saturday's game, because some people were tweeting at me. He got a block, and a bunch of people tweeted, like, Dikembe Mutombo. And I told Matt about that, and he just giggled. He goes, I think all of my blocks have come against Kansas. Think about that. I think they are. He's had, like, 3 blocks every time that Iowa State's played Kansas. It's been kind of crazy.
But just to reiterate, I think offensively, Iowa State, with Monte Morris in the starting lineup, as good as anybody right now in college basketball. Obviously, defensively and rebounding, they have some issues because of their size. But they can do some things now with Monte in there. They've gotten a step better in the last 3 weeks.
Absolutely, no question about that. All right, I want to remind everybody right now to go on over. If you know what iTunes is, surely you know what iTunes is.
So where you that's where you download Flappy Bird.
Yeah, the Flappy Bird, you download these things called podcasts nowadays. So our podcast, Tron, the Cyclone Fanatic podcast, we're up to number 5.
I noticed.
On the college sports. So we asked, the Cyclone Fanatics, and they're all over it. So we would like more subscribers to that thing as we're in the college sports section. We're up to number 5 at this point in time, and we're really wanting to build this podcast up to really be the next big thing that we do at CycloneFanatic.com. I believe that's the future. It's what I always call it when we're trying to sell things, the a la carteization of the media world that we live in. People want things when they want it. It's an on-demand universe anymore, and that's why you can go download the podcast of this radio program later on this evening at CycloneFanatic.com, or if you subscribe to Cyclone Fanatic on iTunes. We need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the somewhat controversial comments made by Iowa State head football coach Paul Rhodes at his signing day press conference yesterday. We have a little audio from that, and we're all going to give our opinion on what went down inside the Bergstrom football complex yesterday afternoon. You're in tune to the Cyclone Fanatic Wilson Toyota Radio Show. We are live at Bench Warmers in Ankeny on 1460 KXNO.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to Bench Warmers here in gorgeous Ankeny, Iowa. I'm Chris, joined by Tron and Brent Bloom, as always, on the Cyclone Fanatic Wilson Toyota Radio program. Talked a lot of hoops in segment number one. It's fitting that this next segment of the program brought to you by Glenn Waterhouse Insurance. Glenn Waterhouse, my good buddy, a State Farm agent. He is located down in Johnston. Now, of course, Glenn Waterhouse from State Farm Insurance, he is a former Iowa State Cyclone. Played a little ball way back in the day, was a linebacker. I hope Glenn's listening because I'm going to try and make him feel old here. But Matty Van Winkle, who covered the Alan Lazard signing for us, he's here tonight at Benchwarmers. Going to have himself a Hoiberger in a little bit. But just bought himself a life insurance claim from Glenn. He's pretty pumped up about that. Hopefully Matt doesn't have to use it. We're going to knock on wood right there. But it's something you got to have, you know. So 515-223-5566 is how you can get a hold of Glenn Waterhouse from State Farm Insurance. 515-223-5566. Give him a call today. All right, we got to talk about this Paul Rhodes and National Signing Day. It's been the hot topic of conversation here on 1460 KXNO all afternoon, if you've been listening, which I'm sure you have. And I'm sure that old Hey Tana coming up at 7 o'clock, perhaps Tana's going to have an opinion on what Paul Rhodes had to say about Alan Lazard and whatnot yesterday. But our good friend Andrew Downs is producing the program tonight back in KXNO, and he has drummed up a little Paul Rhodes audio for us. So without further ado, here's what Paul Rhodes had to say that got a few feathers ruffled yesterday afternoon.
True to his word of 14 months, Alan Lazard sent in his official national letter of intent today. He's not going to a school in northern Indiana. Boy, they wasted a lot of time and money. He's not going to another school in this state who feverishly tried to call him about a half a dozen times in the last week, much to the dismay of people in this room who've wasted a lot of space and time challenging his words of commitment. He's going right here to Iowa State University. As a bonus to Allen, I'm going to keep him off limits to the media for his freshman year. I think he's earned that after what he's been through the last 14 months.
Paul Rhodes right there yesterday, audio courtesy of, I think, like Clear Channel or KXNO is where I should tip my hat to.
Somebody got
to Andrew Downs. We'll just give Andrew Downs. My take on this. One, I don't believe Paul Rhodes was in any way taking a shot at Iowa or Notre Dame for continuing to recruit Alan Lazard. I read a good friend of ours, Brent, Tommy Birch from the Des Moines Register. The word hypocrite was tossed around from that standpoint, and I don't agree with that. From what I heard there, I don't hear a guy criticizing those schools for Paul's smarter than that. He knows that it's part of the game. He knows that it happens. He knows that he's done it. I do not agree with withholding Alan Lazard from the media next year. Unless Alan Lazard went up to Paul Rhodes and said, listen, I don't want to talk to these guys anymore. Give me a break. And perhaps that did happen. I do not know. My analysis.
It's happened before, though, where freshmen have been off limits.
Correct. I remember vividly that going up to Cole Metten at Media Day once. This was when he redshirted, but at the time, it
granted,
didn't
know, it's just the kicker.
Yeah. But he's a local kid who was going to garner a lot of attention at that media day. I remember going up to Cole and asking for an interview, and I can't, man. I'm off limit. Because it's a kicker. It's a fragile position. You don't want people getting in that young man's head before the season even starts. I remember back during a fall camp when Chantrell Johnson was a freshman, that Chantrell and Duck Hollis, remember Duck Hollis? Those two gentlemen were talkative young men back when they were freshmen. And they were not allowed to speak to the media. I do not remember if eventually, I think that Chantrell may have been able to talk later on, but at the beginning, during fall camp, he was held off from the media. Unless there's some part of this that I don't know, if it truly is, like I wrote last night, just Paul sped up and flipping the bird to the Central Iowa media or the Iowa media or whatever, I don't agree with that. I don't think it's ever a good route to go to war with the media. It's you're never going to win that. You're just not. That would be my take on it. I don't think that calling Rhodes a hypocrite for the Notre Dame and Iowa comments is. Listen, it's a competitive field. Iowa's your rival. In Notre Dame, you got two coaches at Notre Dame who you go back decades with, in Bob Elliott and Tony Alford. One of them who was on your staff 2 years ago. It's a delicate situation. Listen, you can't praise Paul Rhodes for being an emotional guy and being a real dude and somebody you'd like to have a beer with. You can't say all that and then get annoyed or offended or whatever when he makes a comment like this. You can't have it both ways. I'm okay with it. Were they necessary? I thought Mike Halas put it really well from the Cedar Rapids Gazette in his column. Not necessarily, none of this was really necessary, but it damn sure was interesting, and we're still talking about it tonight when the Iowa State basketball team is on the midst of a somewhat historic season. Bloom, what do you think?
Well, and I've talked about this for a while on Murph and Andy earlier today, and I don't want to reiterate everything I said. I thought Dave Zavalinsky, sports director at Channel 5, had a good point today that he enjoys a good story, and
yes,
that was a good story, and he also said, I thought this was good. I also was a Richard Sherman fan of the Seattle Seahawks. And now it's different, but the same. Rhodes is an entertaining guy because he does stuff like this. It rubs people, a lot of people, the wrong way. It also fires up his fan base. And I think that's what he was trying to do. I think it was a us-against-them type moment for Paul where he's rallying not only the fans, and I think most of the fans are behind him. I'm sure some of them think it was a little petty, and it may have been. But it also rallies the players. And if you're a player, you want a coach that is going to be in your corner. And whether it's needed or not, I think Paul was trying to say to his players, I've got your back. Alan stuck with us, and we're going to stick up for Alan.
This is how I want to go at it with you, Tron. You're a father. Bloom and I both have dogs. I got Dirks. He's got Zoe. They're not going to be D1 football prospects. I've seen Trenton walk around. I think Trenton's going to play some ball someday, all right? Little Trenton. Is based off of what you just heard, would you want your kid playing for, is that the type of guy who you would like Trenton to go and play for, a guy like Paul Rhodes?
Absolutely. But we've always talked about Paul, and he's a player's coach, and this day and time, it's hard to find those kind of coaches. Absolutely. I want a coach that's going to stand up for my kid. And here's the deal. Let me put this out here. I'm going to defend this coach.
Put it out there.
Who happens to be our coach. And I'm saying that so you know. I'm not just because it's Paul Rhodes, I'm saying this. We have no clue as to, I don't know you guys, I don't know if you ever went through recruiting or anything. You have no clue.
I definitely did not.
Never went through the recruiting process.
And the reason why I say this, so you can see it from my standpoint, you have no clue as to what was said by Notre Dame. If anything was said, I'm not saying it was, but we have no clue as to what was said, what happened leading up. So we're just getting the back end of this thing of Paul saying, I understand that this is what was still going on, but he didn't go there. He was committed to me. Now, again, who knows what was said? Who knows what went on? Back to the media thing.
Can I just go ahead. That's 14 months, I think, of pent-up frustration, too, that you saw released in
absolutely.
One day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, to the media thing. Now, I'm going to say this, Chris, because we're the best of friends and you're the media guy. here's the thing about this. We have never had a recruit or maybe one with this caliber here at Iowa State. Now, we have a kid. Not only is he of this caliber, he's a local kid. So keep in mind that everything that we all say on this radio show and everybody writes in the papers is going to go right back to this kid, whether we want it or not. Now, as a coach, do you want that kid to get questioned for every single thing that's said locally, or do you want to say, listen, for the first year so I can get his mindset right,
yeah.
I want to keep him away so I can keep him, you know, focused on what we need to do, because whether he says this or not, Alan Lazard gets a lot of attention, both positive and negative, from the media and the fan base going into next year because of the expectations being a local kid.
That's the angle of it that I think so it's this is local, not that he's just some four-star recruit. Just the fact that, I mean, he's headlined Dave Z's Friday Night Blitz for for 4 years now. Everybody knows it.
It's going to be tough for this kid going forward. And I, you know what? I agree with Paul. If he feels at this point it's affecting him and how he's going to operate going forward, I think it's the right call for a coach to say, what, kid, I need you to be focused. Because, listen, high school and college is two different games. The people and what's said is because you're not just a kid in high school. So Bloom, the angry fan that's yelling at you now, he's not just saying, hey, kid, I think you suck. He said, I think you and your mom suck, and I know your little brother goes to this school. So it changes as to what happens, and I think he's just trying to protect them. Again, it has a lot to do with him being local. I mean, I think it's a good call.
If that's the case, then I'm fine with it. If it's just flipping the bird to the media, I don't
that's not Paul's style. See, when you start trying to make a coach into something. He's never did it before. Why would we start thinking that's what he's doing now?
Just based off of what we just heard, though.
It's 4 years he's been here. Has he ever said, hey, Chris, boom? He's never done it before.
No.
So what I'm saying, you got to take the latter side of it and say, I think I'm protecting my athlete at this point.
What do you think, Bloom?
Yeah, it's tough because Allen's a well-spoken kid. I think he'd be a great representative for Iowa State.
Yeah, he could be Jeff Woody type quotes.
He is. And so you'd like to hear from him, and I think he's going to be a big part of the team next year because he's going to play. And I think he'll contribute. But I also see it from Iowa State's standpoint where for 14 straight months he's been, willingly, because he agreed to the interviews and he talked to the media, he's been badgered with questions. And everyone knows that next fall everyone's going to want to talk to Alan Lazard again.
Yeah.
Whether he's playing or not, it's going to be, why isn't Alan Lazard playing? Alan, why aren't you playing?
Yeah.
That's
a good point.
And not only does it distract maybe him, it distracts the rest of the team as well. Because if you can insulate him now, it was almost a preemptive shot. Now, I don't necessarily agree with the timing.
Yeah.
Because it looked petty because it was after the rant.
That's what makes me think that, though, Tron, was the timing of it. If he would have said at the beginning of fall camp, I think it would have been perceived differently.
I think it would have been as well. So now, but we don't know what went through Allen's head and also what went through Paul Rhodes' head to get to that conclusion. Maybe he'll talk about it at some point, but it's an angle where you see why the media is saying, we just want to do our jobs, but the Iowa State coach are saying, let us do our jobs and let us know what's best for our program.
And, just a little tidbit, just to think about it, back in the high school season, there was a retweet that came up through the middle of the season between somebody, one of the Iowa fans or one of the Iowa representatives, asking Alan Lazard, wouldn't he like to wear a Hawkeye uniform next year? And the kid retweets, well, yeah, I could take meth too, but that's not a good idea. But I'm saying, nothing wrong with it, but it's things like that when you look at it from a coaching standpoint, saying, hey, kid, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was excellent. Thank you for defending me, but I'm not quite sure that's what I want you doing all next year. I think it is. I agree with you, Chris. I think you want access to a kid like that because he's local, and I don't think it's the guys like you that they're trying to defend him from.
No, I
think
I know.
It's some of the other things.
I understand.
When they play Iowa, being that he didn't sign with Iowa, and you put him out there and you put him out on a pedestal and you just open reins, boom.
Listen, if it is what you laid out, Tron, and it's just for your football team and the fact that he's a freshman, and frankly, and we're going to talk about this when we get the five questions, but, Alan Lazard, he's not going to lead that team in receiving next year. You got Quentin Buttridge, you got E.J. Bibbs, who's probably potentially an NFL tight end. You really don't want to set the tone with a true freshman being your go-to guy as far as the media goes after every, if he has one catch for 11 yards or whatever. I have no idea what he's going to do. But if it is truly how you laid it out, I completely understand and support. If it's just I'm mad at the media, I just feel like Bloom said, just take a little bit more time, see what you feel like in August.
And, you know, this is a great deal. We probably should have got Austin Arnott on the phone. He's a brilliant person to talk to on this. There's a lot of pressure being the local kid and then coming in and having all those questions. I mean, it's a tough deal. So, you know, we're expecting him. I mean, all of us, we've all been caught saying, man, Lazard's going to be the man. He's going to do this. We're already putting him up here, and the kid hasn't caught one ball in Cardinal Gold.
That's funny you say that. I was just going to bring that up. I remember when Arnott was a true freshman. He redshirted, of course, but his first media day, this was 06, he had the largest crowd of any player on that team. And that's a team that had Brett Meyer and Todd Blythe
coming back.
What
do you think Brett thought about that?
Well, I'd like to hear from Paul. If that's what it is, I get that. Now, the problem is, and I know there's a couple members of the media who probably took this too far, and it got really annoying because they were essentially saying, you know, why would you want to – you know, marry that person, they're so ugly. I mean, I think that's what it looked like for a while, and that's irritating, especially to a coaching staff who's worked their backsides off to get him. But penalizing the entire media for the actions of a few, I think, is also a tough spot to go to as well.
We have 20,000 diehard Iowa State fans that come onto our website every single day, and they would love to hear from Alan Lazard at Media Day. I'm not saying Tron every single week; he's got to be a bit, but at Media Day, you know what I mean?
It really is. It's a tough call,
you got to give. It's a tough deal. We don't know what Alan and Paul talk about, and there's a lot of
the deal unknown. Is this: as the media, you know, and guys on the radio. We're going to create a monster that we can be killing halfway through the season. We can say, hey, this kid's going to be great, and he's this and he's that. And the first time he doesn't do that, it's going to be the same media guys going, this kid is terrible. Why are we playing him? Why did we recruit him? You know, I mean, we've done it. What was the running back that we had a few years ago? I don't even think he ever played. The kid that came out of Florida State?
Bo Williams.
I mean, he was the best thing since sliced bread.
Bo really, Bo Williams man. Reference. Pointron.
Yeah,
Pointron. All right. We're practicing showmanship like George Costanza on Seinfeld. We're going to end on a high note. This segment, the Bo Williams reference. We got to take a break. 5 questions when we come back. It's the Cyclone Fanatic Wilson Toyota of Ames radio show on 1460 KXNO.
Phillips Floors is proud to support Iowa State Athletics and CycloneFanatic.com, the best site around for talking about Cyclone sports. Phillips Floors is a full-service flooring company that offers professional, high-quality installation of hardwood, ceramic tile, natural stone, carpet, and vinyl floors. Call us today for a free estimate and an in-home consultation in the Indianola area at 515-961-7300 or in Ankeny at 515-964-0454. Visit us on the web today at phillipsfloors.com.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Wow. I don't want to be the kind of hesitant. Yes. It's the greatest bumper music in KXNO history.
Did Steve Young kick Andrew Downs out? What's the deal? Is Downs still there?
Downs, he's here, and he's playing a little George Strait for us on a Thursday night.
Can we get Trey Songz back?
Who?
Trey Songz.
With a Z?
With a Z.
Who is this dude?
Is that really his last name? We never got to the bottom.
Yes, we did get to the bottom.
It's not Songz.
It's
Tremaine was his first.
We got about 9 minutes left here on the Wilson Toyota Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show at Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Tron, you gonna get the Hoy Burger?
I am gonna get the Hoy Burger. Actually,
it's your go-to.
That's my deal.
Hey, props to you. You made me think about the whole media, Alan Lazard, Paul Rhodes controversy a little bit differently. I'm not saying I agree with it. No, but I'm saying you provoked thoughts that had not gone through my mind, and I've been thinking about this all day in that last segment. That you did your job.
That's why we're here.
Yeah,
we're here to get different perspectives.
We don't have to get all ticked off at each other.
Well, no need in fighting. That would be a waste of your time.
No. It would be. It would be a waste of everybody's time. We wouldn't be the fifth-ranked podcast in the world. Just kidding. All right, 5 questions. Now we can fight. Because 5 questions brought to you by Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine on board. 9 board-certified physicians, 12 outreach clinics, Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine They're going to get you the personalized care you deserve. But fell off the rope at Jack Whitford's North Ankeny CrossFit this week.
Why are you climbing a rope?
Well, it's part of the gig, man. You gotta climb the rope.
I gotta say this, Bloom, and I can say it. You know, Lil Williams is getting some guns there.
Yeah,
I
mean,
this
CrossFit, come on now.
This thing must be. Hey, you know,
dude,
I mean, this
working.
Is coming from the guy that's got massive guns. I mean, I can say it. The kid's getting guns.
Bring
pistols,
if he wants to,
pistols.
If he wants to fight you, then we got problems.
I can't wait till it's shirtless season.
Oh, please, no.
Yeah, and everybody. Vomit. Clive Clinic for Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine. They've got state-of-the-art facilities. They've got imaging, physical therapy, rehab, all sorts of personal physicians to get you back into the game. So call Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine at 515-440-2676 or check them out on the web at dsmcapitalortho.com. Realistic expectations for Alan Lazard next year. Brent Bloom, I'll let you start. What? You don't have to give me touchdown numbers, nothing like that. What's a realistic expectation for what he produces as a true freshman?
Oh, boy, that's a really good question.
Well, that's what I do. I come up with them.
Realistic? You know, I think a contributor, maybe the fourth or fifth leading receiver on the team, I think would be a realistic. 20 catches, a couple touchdowns. That's about all I got. He's not going to be a special teams guy.
No.
He's a guy who can come
20
in.
20 catches, a couple of touchdowns.
Yeah, that's my realistic expectation.
I think you're close. Here's the deal. I think with the talent that's already there, Quentin Bunners, E.J. Bibbs, I think the kid's not going to get the attention. I've seen the kid catch. I've watched the kid. He's a unique specimen of a receiver. Now, can he do that in the Big 12? Will be different. But here's the deal. He will not draw that double team. Bunders and the other guys will. So he'll have the opportunity to show up if they play him.
He's 6'5", legit 6'5". And that's a weapon that they don't have.
And he can jump.
And he can
jump.
That's
the difference.
So,
I think he'll have more than two touchdowns.
I think they'll use him more than you think.
Keep in mind, the record for Iowa State is 9. So
when's the last time you had a top star recruit like this kid? When's the last time?
But he wasn't that highly ranked.
What I'm saying is that we're talking about something different.
Yeah.
The kid who went to Missouri a couple years ago, the Green Beckham, the hyphenated kid, who was a top-ranked recruit in the nation, he didn't do a thing his true freshman year. Now, he had some off-the-field troubles.
I think they were probably working with a little more down at Columbia.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, don't expect this guy to come in and catch 10 touchdowns.
No, that's not what we're saying. I'm saying he's going to be better.
He's for sure third on the list, probably lower. I mean, because Quentin Bundridge is
DeVaro
the guy.
Montgomery, by the way.
I know. I was going to get there, but you've got Bundridge, you've got E.J. Bibbs.
Have you seen this? I mean, I know you've watched him play. Have you really went? I want you to go back and find video and watch this kid. He's a very unique kid because he catches the ball high.
Lazard.
All right. He catches the ball high, he's tall, and he's got long arms. I'm just saying that those factors, which you don't see a lot in big receivers like that with speed, this kid's going to be different. And I'm saying that because they're going to have to respect Quentin Bunders and E.J. Bibbs. I think he does better.
Daniel just tweeted at us, too, reminding us that DeVario Montgomery is also 6'5". But think about even, like, P.J. Harris and Dondre Daly.
Jarvis West.
Eckby's a tall kid, too.
I mean, the cupboard is pretty full at wide receiver for Iowa State. So neither one of you get points because you didn't really disagree. 0-0. Question number
two. But I think he's going to play.
Give me the – all right, Tron. Monday night, it was an epic game, right? The biggest shot by a Cyclone on Monday night. There were a lot of them. Tell me the biggest shot that was made.
You know what? I'm going with the Matt Thomas shot. I know everybody's going to go with Nas. That's just a normal shot. Here's the deal, because all the pressure's on you, kid. You're a freshman. Everybody knows that you haven't been shooting well. You're in the dumps. It's not like Nas. He's a sophomore. I think Matt Thomas did two things. He kept us playing. And it built confidence. That's the best shot of the night.
Boom.
Hey, it's the best shot of the year. The game, I mean, long shot, sent it to triple overtime. It kept the game afloat. Yes.
But they wouldn't have been to triple overtime without Matt Thomas.
I don't know about that. I mean, Matt Thomas' shot put them up 2 with 2 minutes left. There's still plenty of time to get back into
it. Matt Thomas was about sitting on the bench when he shot that.
Nas Long had not hit, like, a thing in 3 weeks. And he steps up in the biggest moment, got Iowa State the win. I don't know how it can be anything but
actually, Monte Morris got us the win. I mean, I'm just putting it out there.
But Nas Long dissed out the assist. Sorry, Tron. I got to go with Bloom, but I love the
everybody, match. Why would you go with Bloom? That's the call everybody's
it's
making.
It's the play of the year.
I know, but I just didn't want to say it's just the normal.
I love the Matt Thomas shot, but I got to go with Bloom. All right, we took a lot of time on that Lazard one. We got 3 to go. How many more games does Iowa State lose this year? They're 5-4, Bloom. What do you now that you they stole one on the road? What do you think Iowa State's record is at the end of Big 12 play? Easier second half of the schedule compared to the first.
I still think they lose two more in conference, so I think they're 12-6.
Well, Tron,
I don't think they lose two more. I think they lose one more. I think Texas will beat. I don't know. I don't think they're going to lose two more games. I want to give this team respect. They're playing well. They're hard to beat right now. They got the latter part of their schedule left. They got one loss in them.
Bloom gets the point.
Still tough to win on the road.
They're going to lose two more. They've got West Virginia.
State.
Tron, you need to make a big comeback. You need to blow me away with one of these answers here, okay? What in the world's wrong with the Iowa State women?
Oh, boy, how much time do we have?
You only got like 30 seconds to answer this.
You know, so. I don't know that there's a problem. I think their youth is showing up. The things we're trying to do, they're uncomfortable. We just don't have that Chelsea Poppins, that go-to hard-nosed player.
Yeah.
And I know we look at Kid, but she doesn't have the frame to be that player, and I think that's affecting the way we want to play basketball. You know, I feel bad for Bill because he's great. But here's one thing about Coach Finley. He'll figure out a way to use what he's got to make it happen. And I think they'll get better. Last night was a tough one.
Last night was tough. I've got the next three games in the play-by-play chair.
So they're going 3-0.
But I'm not saying that's going to happen. I do have a nine-game winning
streak. Yeah, you're 9-0 with them.
They've got some – Christofferson's their only post. She's getting beat up. And they also need to make some shots occasionally as well. And I think it's a combo somewhere. And they're defensively, they haven't been as good as they have been in years past. But tune in 1:30 here on KXNO. Texas down there on Sunday.
Okay.
You can really get into it.
That's national televised, too, I believe.
I don't think it might be.
Yeah.
Don't watch it.
No, we're going to listen to Bloom here on 1460. Tron gets 2 points for that. Great answer. I love the Finley reference. Bill Finley's the best pound-for-pound basketball coach
absolutely
in the country. That's my guy.
Wouldn't trade him for a world.
That's my guy. Radio fist pound to Coach Finley. All right, Bloom. This is for all the marbles, and we really got to go fast. Your favorite Winter Olympics event?
Oh, man.
I said you got to go fast.
Hockey, because it's an actual sport.
Tron?
Snowboarding. I love it. What do you mean hockey is an actual sport?
It's a
snowboard. That's what you actually see people do. I think hockey's tough, but we've been playing hockey since 1840.
Tron wins. 5 questions. Capital Orthopedic Sports Medicine. Hockey?
He shoots. He wins.
That's the only one with people who actually make money.
No, I really do.
None of those other people. I mean, Sean White makes money.
I really do appreciate international hockey. I don't watch the NHL. I have no idea I even won it last year.
Team figure skating tonight.
Got it. Downhill slide.
Bloom, you've been deducted all points. Tron wins in a landslide. Thanks for listening, everybody. We appreciate it. It's been a fun show. Thanks to Kyle Porter for PistolsFiringBlog.com. Of course, John Sellers and Andrew Downs back at the station. He's Brent Bloom. He is Tron Smith. My name is Chris Williams. Big thanks to our friends at Benchwarmers and Wilson Toyota of Ames. Hey, Tana! Coming up next.